Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. But you don't want to hear my voice because it's not very good. I'm going to introduce you to our very special guest, Joyce Riley. Joyce, thank you so much for being with us today.
Prayers are with you, and I'm sorry that you're not feeling well. I'm sorry that you've got such a rough voice right now. We'll try to make it as easy as we can on you.
Well, you're just going to have to do all the talking. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, if they don't know, and if they don't know why I feel sorry for them, but who are you, and of course, what do you do? And then when we get to bring the other stations on board, we'll want to get into our topic for today. But
sure.
You've certainly been on the front lines of this battle since you got back from Vietnam, from the Gulf War, since you actually didn't go there, did you?
No, I didn't go there. My background is that I have been in the reserves, Air Force Reserves, for many years as a flight nurse. And I heard that story about Naira, about the young girl who said that they were throwing babies out of the incubators in Iraq and that the Republican Guard was stabbing them with bayonets. And I was so moved by that story that I went back to Kelly Air Force Base. I was a first lieutenant. They made me a captain at that time and said, I'll go back. I will do whatever it takes because I don't want to see that kind of atrocity happening. And I believed in the atrocities as we were told them. Unfortunately, that one, as many others, turned out to be a lie. And, of course, that was brought to us by Hill & Knowlton Advertising Agency for $10.5 million. But I flew for 6 months on a C-130 aircraft and became ill at the end of that time. I flew from January to July of 1991, and by December, Christmas Day, I was in the hospital through New Year's. And I was quite ill with something they called multiple sclerosis, but not quite. So it took me about 2 or 3 years to get back on literally on my feet again. And in about 94, 95, I began to say, wait a minute, something is really, really wrong here. You don't go and serve your country for 6 months and come back with a disease like multiple sclerosis and 6 spots on your brain and spinal cord of demyelination. And, of course, that's a sign of the myelin sheath coming off, and which is usually indicative of neurological disorders such as multiple sclerosis. And I began to ask questions and talk to other nurses and found out that they, in fact, also were having some of those same symptoms. So I began my own research to find out what in the world was going on. Because I had served as a testifying expert in medical malpractice trials since about 1984. So I had been involved in looking at medical records and finding out what went wrong and who was at fault, or if there was anybody at fault at all. So I felt very comfortable in taking what records we could get then and analyzing them, but I had no way to make contact with other people. So I took it upon myself to establish the information that I had well enough in my mind and to be able to go on radio talk shows to hopefully bring the other Gulf War veterans out of the closet and then be able to find out what information they had. And that's kind of where my story begins, in that I wanted to know what had happened. And I'll tell you what, we just got our first call from Gulf War II veterans, and it's not a pretty sight.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back with Joyce in just a moment as we begin bringing our other stations online. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, my voice is not sound quite normal because it isn't quite normal, but fortunately we have this a very gracious guest who will do most of the talking, one of my favorite people and friends, Joyce Riley, and we've been talking about the Gulf War syndrome. The government lied to us. They said there is no Gulf War syndrome. Nobody is sick from this. It's all in their heads. Nobody was exposed to chemicals. There was no chemical weapons used. Well, a few of them were, maybe 1,000, 5,000. 20,000, 50,000, 125,000. Maybe how many finally they agree admit were exposed to chemicals, Joyce?
We think now it's way over 130,000. In fact, the Department of Defense has finally admitted that there are probably 130,000 people that have been exposed to the dangers of the chemical agent.
And then, of course, we have over 200,000 American veterans, young boys from towns like yours and mine, who went off to fight the wicked Saddam Hussein in 1991. And 200,000 of the 690,000 boys who went now have permanent disability, and they haven't been all been given that, but they have real symptoms. We don't know how many have died. They will admit to 8,000 or 9,000. How many do you think are dead of that group that they were experimented on?
I think there's close to 30,000 deaths now. In fact, the Department of Defense has now admitted that it's close to between 11,000 and 13,000, so they're even incrementally expanding their figures. But you know, the interesting thing is that there are 200,000 that have been given disability by the Department of Defense. Now, this is real important for people to understand the difference between disability and how many are actually ill. Because the Department of Defense is wanting to take the position of, well, we're taking care of our troops. I mean, we've got 200,000 of them on disability. The question we ought to be asking is, excuse me, DOD, why in the world do we have 200,000 people sick out of 700,000 that fought in a 100-hour war? Now, that should be the question. And these people, as the DOD prides themselves in saying, well, they're getting compensation because we're giving them disability claims. Dr. Stan, the average amount of money being given on a monthly basis to those troops is a 10% disability or $98 a month.
All right. Well, now we have another war, and we have another illness there, and I know you're on the front lines of that. And I think it's so vitally important for our people to know. And before long, they may be drafting your son or your brother or your father into these new wars, because we have a whole flock of them in store, because the American people really don't care. And how often it is, well, as long as it's somebody else's son or father or brother, it doesn't involve me, but ladies and gentlemen, we're all involved. And they experimented on our boys in the first Gulf War, and if you don't believe that, you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report, which we carry. And certainly you'd want to get my latest newsletter, right, July-August newsletter, which goes into the acknowledged experiments on hundreds of thousands of Americans without their knowledge or consent by your government. But let's get into the Gulf War II syndrome. Why don't you tell us that story? Because we know that a large number of these boys have come down with an unexplained pneumonia, at least. They will not explain what's going on with them. Would you like to tell the story?
Sure. Let me tell it from what I know, because I have talked with the family of a deceased Gulf War II veteran. Now, what we are being told is different than what we are experiencing or seeing. Number one, the Department of Defense says that there have been over 100 cases of this rare pneumonia that has made our troops ill and has killed at least two of them. Now, that's what we're being told by the DOD. What we now know is that it is probably in the hundreds of people that have become ill, more have died, and more have been placed on respirators or ventilators than we were told. Now, let me just tell you the story of Josh Nushi real quick, because that will give you the story, I think, of what's taking place here. Josh Nushi was one of the best-loved young men from the senior class last year of Camdenton High School, which is about 30 miles from where I live. Josh Nushi was the king of the prom. He was well-liked by everyone. He joined the military, the National Guard, through the high school program. He went to Southern Missouri State College. He was then called out of college to go to Iraq and serve with the National Guard, which he did. He wanted to serve his country proudly. His parents were, very proud of him. On the 26th of June, he wrote home to his parents and said, I'm going to be going on a hauling mission, H-A-U-L-I-N-G. Now, his military specialty, his MOS, was heavy equipment operator. He was going to be going on this hauling mission that was supposed to take 3 to 4 days. I believe it was 4 days. on the 30th of June, he was struck down by something. He went back to his tent, he laid there, and he eventually passed out, went to sleep, lost consciousness, whatever you want to say. And they state that he was found with fluid in his lungs, that he had pneumonia. He was totally asymptomatic prior to that time. But he had been hauling tarps, or had been hauling something that had a tarp over it, and they were not allowed to see what they were hauling. At the site of this camp, which was very near Baghdad, now I've got to tell you, sir, that one of the things that all of these vets have in common that are getting this weird pneumonia is that they had all been in one of Saddam's palaces earlier, and they were all at the Baghdad airport area. I don't know the correlation of that. I can only surmise. However, that's what we're hearing from all of these troops who have become ill. He became ill. They air-evac'd him to Landstuhl Hospital in Germany, not to Kuwait, where you would have thought a person needing a respirator would have gone, but they went directly to Landstuhl, Germany. His parents were notified, and remember, he became ill on June 30th, on July 1st, and the timeline to this is, the sequence is very important. On July 1st, with less than him being ill 24 hours, he is on a respirator, and they declare him medically retired. Now, that's very unusual for the military, but we have found there have been at least 18 of these people that have become ill all of a sudden, gone on a respirator, been transferred to Landstuhl, Germany, and were all given military retirement, medical retirement. His family was called on around June 1st and told about his dire situation. The family said, well, we need to get over there and see our son for the last time. How can we do this? Their response basically was, he's medically retired, so we can't send you over there. So they had no money. They were not able to get to Germany. So every member of the 203rd Battalion, I believe they were combat engineer group or battalion of, heavy equipment operators, that type of thing, they then took up a donation. All 638 people took up a donation of $10 apiece to send his parents over there. When Cindy and Mark Nushi got into the airport there at Landstuhl, they were not even given an escort or a ride over to the airport or over to the hospital. When they got to the hospital, they found their son comatose on a respirator, unable to communicate, of course, in any way, shape, or form. He was also in isolation, quarantined, and they were not allowed to touch him. They had to put on all the garb. I don't know if they had respirator devices. I don't know how intense it was, but Cindy Nushi said that I was not able to touch my son at all prior to the time that he died. So they're there at the hospital, and Mark Nushi goes out into the hallway and hears a nurse say, there's going to be a whole lot more brought in just like Josh. At that point, the father realizes that there's more people with whatever Josh has. He asked the doctor, what is going on here? The doctor told him, your son was exposed to a toxin. At that point, he goes into the hallway and decides that he's going to go and wait and see what happens with how many other people that come in Josh's condition. He watches as they unload the bus/ambulance, as the military utilizes transport from the airport, and he counted 55 people that were either on respirators or that were in wheelchairs. Now, I trust fully what Mark Nushi has to say. He has no reason to lie about this scenario. Plus, I've also heard this same story from another family that had nothing to do with Josh Nushi. So these young men who have been fighting in Baghdad are brought into the Landstuhl Hospital. One man was down the hall on the respirator, and to our knowledge, he also died. Josh was then going to be transferred back to Walter Reed because all of these very sick and ill people were going to be removed and air-evac'd to Walter Reed. However, the father said it's going to take 16 hours to get him to Walter Reed. They had to dialyze him because, here's the problem, not only did he have fluid in his lungs, his lungs were filled with fluid, he also had liver failure, kidney failure, and his muscles were deteriorating rapidly. So you have all of these problems that are not typical of pneumonia, not a pneumonia case, and plus a 20-year-old is very resilient. There's not that many cases of pneumonia in the desert anyway. They're very resilient. they don't cave in to this kind of symptomatology or to a pneumonia problem that fast. So he was then, his parents then said, well, where can you get dialysis in Germany? They said Hamburg. So they transferred him to Hamburg to dialyze him, and on the trip over to Hamburg, he died. The family asked for an independent autopsy. They asked for samples of the tissue, of the fluids, everything. And they then went back to his room at Landstuhl, to which they found it had been quarantined, locked up, no one could enter the room, and they could not even get his belongings. They then came back to the United States to get ready for the funeral. And I got to tell you, Dr. Stan, it was a very difficult time for them, as for any family. They've got a 20-year-old, light of their life, who is now dead. They have no answers, and they began to ask questions. The Department of Defense was forthcoming with things like, well, we're not sure, we've got other cases, we're sending experts into the area, we'll find out. Within 10 days, we will have an answer for you, within 10 days. Then one of the reporters in the local area, Marcia Paxson, got a hold of this story, and she began to pursue the story in its entirety. She mentioned toxin. She mentioned hauling mission, that he was on some type of classified or unknown hauling mission. She mentioned all the things that, with the intrigue in the story, that made it different than any other media person that covered the story. Because the family was contacted by numerous people in the military, in the media, and not one of them would cover toxin or hauling mission, except for, I think, one other person out of Springfield, Missouri, did. Then all the stories changed, and Marcia Paxson told me, she says, I don't understand it. Nobody's carrying the story the way it really is, and the news, she's told everybody the same story. So now we have a young man that's getting ready for the burial. His parents called me. I went and met with them and heard the entire story. The Department of Defense, of course, at this point, is promising them an answer within 10 days. 10 days came and went. And then they asked for the independent autopsy results. They asked for his discharge papers. They asked for his dog tags. They asked for all of his personal effects, and they were denied all of those. To this point in time, and Josh Nushi died July 12th, they have not even received a death certificate, the autopsy report, anything at all about their son. And now the Surgeon General is not returning and not responding to their phone calls. Now, this is not the only story like this. There's many others. So we have to ask ourselves, what were they exposed to? There is another troop that I am aware of who also had the same scenario happen. And I'm not going to give any of the identifiers because this person is in a little bit more difficult situation because this person made it. He was able to live through the ordeal. And he sat down on a canister. He was at Baghdad Airport. Or no, excuse me. He was at one of the palaces of Saddam Hussein. He sat down on a canister so that he wouldn't have to sit in the desert to be able to get some rest, or while they were hauling and whatever, they just, this person was in heavy equipment also. Anyway, this person then begins to feel like his heart is racing, he can't breathe, he starts to say something is wrong, and he passes out. He ends up on a respirator also, and the same scenario takes place. So the question is, what were they exposed to, what was the hauling mission, and what was the agenda behind it?
And, of course, the thing we have to ask is, if this was really something that Saddam Hussein did, don't you think they would come out and vilify him and demonize him? Or is this simply one of the other macabre experiments they've carried out on Americans? If you have not read the Rockefeller Committee report, we have it. It was suppressed by our government, but actually published by the U.S. Publishing Office. And I bought up most of the copies that they had, and a few of them got out. I know Joyce has this as well. If you'd like the Rockefeller report to find out what this is about, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-4.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we had. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic, and guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it. And it, recently, the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And I'm sure you're going to be very, very satisfied with the product. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you were... Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley, and as you can see, my voice isn't all it should be, but I'm very, very concerned that we've done it again, and where's the outcry from the people? Well, we're not reading about it. We've seen a few articles in the New York Times, but now that they will admit at least 50 of our soldiers are sick with this unknown disease, but of course, they're not telling us what it is, and... is this another one of the macabre experiments? And if you don't think that they will experiment on your children and your sons and daughters in the military, you just don't understand the reality of what's going on. Because who are you going to go to? Are you going to complain to the government? You need to get the Rockefeller Report. It's only $9.95. Available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It was published by the Veterans Administration. And it'll make your blood run cold. Because they'll do it to our servicemen. Why wouldn't they do it to the American people? And if there's that sort of evil out there, why, of course, it's not a matter of if, but when. Pick up the story from there, Joyce.
Yeah, they have been experimenting, unfortunately, on our military for 50 years, and that's a sad part. In fact, that Rockefeller report that you have states that hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their consent. Now, that is chilling. In fact, they just passed a law now, or they're attempting to pass a law. They did it pass Executive Order 13139 that says that they can experiment on our military in place. Well, the sad part is that hundreds of thousands of military have already been experimented upon and are not getting any kind of treatment, compensation, or whatever. Well, back to the story of Josh Nushi and what happened to this other young man is that they both ended up on respirators. They were placed on medical retirement almost the day that they became ill. So that tells me right there, sir, that they knew something had happened to them that was probably a terminal situation. I believe they were exposed to something. Now, whatever that something is, I was talking to a military physician who told me that it sounds like a chemical agent more than a biological agent. The doctor told one of the fathers that it was a toxin. So the question is then, what were they exposed to? What was it doing there, and why didn't we hear about it? Well, there's really two scenarios that are being put forward, and that is, number one, that it was the old weapons of mass destruction, the chemicals that were being removed from the area that were being transported to the airport. I will tell you, I got some very good information, and I'm going to do like CNN says, an anonymous source, we can use that also, says that the 1st Armored Division is coming down from the north to Baghdad, the 82nd Airborne from the south up to Baghdad, and that they were unloading these weapons at the airport, which is why many of these people took ill at the airport. And you saw the dancing by the Pentagon over that issue of where were they stationed when they became ill, because they did not want to address that, and they gave the, oh, it's national security, etc. So I would say that at this point, it is probably accurate that they were dealing with some kind of a weapon. Was it a toxic weapon from the previous Bush administration or a new weapon from the new Bush administration? And let me say that I think at this point that probably they were getting rid of all of the weapons of mass destruction that have all the fingerprints of the previous Bush administration on them. I don't think that they want to go through more of the public's awareness of how these weapons were there. We've got 400,000 people sick now, 200,000 being compensated, and another 200,000 that will not utilize the VA or the DOD. So we've got somewhere around 400,000 ill out of that 700,000. If they were, in fact, removing those weapons, and we're also hearing that perhaps this has something to do with the Anniston, Alabama incineration project, because the weapons were allegedly, possibly, hypothetically, loaded on C-141 aircraft, taken down to Anniston, Alabama, and incinerated. Well, the normal question would be, well, if they didn't want people to find out about it, why wouldn't they take it to Tooele, which is the natural place to incinerate weapons? Tooele, which is in Utah, a military base in Utah. Well, the reason, we believe, and some people have speculated, is that Tooele is, there's too much transportation there. You've got to go too far from the airport to where you would receive incinerate the weapons. In Anniston, they are willing to take the public and put them at risk and expose them to whatever is there, meaning the chemicals or biologicals that are going to be incinerated, because it's close to the airport, they can drive it over there fast and incinerate it, and they had to give them gas masks, as you probably all know.
Well, there's just so many unanswered questions out there. What, of course, you will not to know is that the American government had not only sent the various chemicals and biological agents to Saddam Hussein, but it actually sent some of the completed chemical agents. Isn't that true, Joyce?
That's correct. That is correct.
And the fact that you have never heard of that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Due to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and really to understand how this all fits together, you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can get it by itself for $12.95, or you can get it along with a video and an audio tape for $29.95. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America truly is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Joyce Riley. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Joyce, where do we stand with these boys? Are they still coming down, or is this a whole episode seem to be drawing to a close?
Well, we haven't gotten any reports in the last week or so of anyone that's become ill. So I'm really hoping that this is over. However, it has been over a two-month period, because we've been getting reports for 2 months that it took place. So there's something going on over there with respect to the hauling of something that has taken over 2 months. Now, the question is, as we said before the break, either it is because there are the old weapons they want to get out, the ones with the real fingerprints on them of the Bush administration, which I've got to tell you, I don't think they want any of the anything that will identify George Bush Sr. with respect to those weapons. Or they could be moving in the new weapons of mass destruction with, let's say, a foreign country's fingerprints on them, so that there's nothing to do with the United States. You know, there's all kinds of options, hypothetically, of things that could be going on here. But I don't think there's anybody that doesn't think there's something wrong with the story of what happened to the weapons of mass destruction. Scott Ritter was too intent on the fact that they had been destroyed. The government was too, in fact, intent on the fact that they had not been destroyed. And I just don't think they want to drag up the Banco Nacional de Lavoro incident, in which George Bush approved $4 billion of agricultural commercial credits to to Saddam Hussein. And by the way, those credits never made it to food, which they were supposed to be. It made it, of course, to the arming of Iraq.
And I think it's so vitally important that our people know that we created the best enemy and money could buy. Saddam was a worked for the CIA in 55. You can get the book on Holy Babylon, written a decade ago, that goes into that. And then, of course, the book See No Evil by Robert Baer points out how time and again the military of Iraq tried to overthrow Saddam, and every time we betrayed them. And, of course, we allowed Saddam to smuggle oil so he could have enough money to keep his military intact, to keep him in power. At every turn, we helped Saddam Hussein. And now, of course, we're going to destroy the best enemy money could buy. But we can't let the American people know that. We've got Spencer calling from Ohio. Spencer, you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, Dr. Stan. Yes, Joyce, I got your MKUltra documents from your website.
Yes.
My question is, are our troops being tortured with these MKUltra weapons, or are those just...
Does MKUltra have any part to do with what's going on today?
Well, I wish I could answer that, Spencer. I don't know. I know that there are some weapons over there that are classified. I know there are some weapons that people don't want to talk about. I don't know to the extent of which any mind control is being done on our military. I know that there is a lot of testing, a lot of experimentation going on, and I think we need to be aware of the fact that there are massive amounts of experiments going on in the military all the time, especially through DARPA, and the new desire to, of course, want to make the super soldier. But unfortunately, I can't respond to that. But MKUltra, I do not think, is dead. I think that goes on today under different code names.
For our listeners out there, we have the 77 reports put out by the government on MKUltra. The orders were given to destroy all the evidence, and fortunately, somebody working in government was honest and didn't destroy them, and when somebody put in a FOIA request, they turned it over, and it became the basis of one of the most frightening government inquiries, totally suppressed, but we have those committee reports, as does Joyce. That's the MKUltra report, and then the other behavioral modification reports, and we refer to all of these in our July-August newsletter, available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you have a question for Joyce, the telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. What are you hearing from the military over there?
I'm hearing that there is a massive esprit de corps problem. They are down. They are not happy. They are frustrated. There's a lot of concern. I was talking to Woody Powell, who is the head of the National Organization for Veterans for Peace, and he said, I worry about these troops bringing them back because these troops have been through things that we never expected our troops would go through. First of all, we take our warriors, and that's, of course, the name that they now call them. They're not combat anymore. They're warriors. They're referred to as that. You take them into the area to fight and kill, which is what they're trained to do. And then you say, okay, never mind, we're done with that. Now go be friends with these people and establish a country. Well, you don't do that. In fact, one of the Special Forces troops that I was talking to said that was the biggest mistake, was to take our warriors and try and make them go and be the peacekeepers. It just doesn't work. It's not right to do that. Well, there's been a lot of incidents that have taken place. Thousands and thousands of civilians have been killed, and they have been having to kill civilians. And that's not setting well. Now imagine the problem that our military now has when they go to war, they believe that they stop the war, they do what they're supposed to do, then the weapons of mass destruction are not found. And then as soon as the end of the major combat is, you know, I mean, whatever that means, that doesn't mean anything. We're still at war. But when that happens and the president lands on the aircraft carrier, what happens? The four-star general in charge of the war goes home to Texas because his wife wants him to spend some time at home. Now imagine, there's something that's called a stop loss. That means that you cannot leave the military, you cannot retire from the military, even if your time is up, because the stop loss is in effect and you're needed for war. Well, that's if you're an E-1, an enlisted guy, or a second lieutenant, or anybody else, but it doesn't seem to apply for a four-star general. Now imagine the problems that these troops had when they found out their general said, hey, thanks for the memories, guys, fight a good one for us, I got to go home and be with my wife. I mean, think about that. When in the history of this country has a general retired mid-war and said, oh, I'm going to let somebody else handle this?
And the other thing is they've been told repeatedly they're coming home month after month after month. And then, of course, they've been lied to. And you can't get out of the military. And these, a lot of them are National Guard reserves. They never anticipated what's happened.
That's right. They're getting sick from the anthrax. They are getting sick from whatever other vaccines they've been given. I don't know what they are. But now we're having entire units from Operation Enduring Freedom that are contacting us and telling us that they have the rash. They have the intestinal problems. They have the headaches. They have the joint pain. Well, no, I take that back. The joint pain is not there yet. That was the next thing to happen to Gulf War I troops. But they're starting now with the same scenario. So the question is it due to depleted uranium, which there's a very good chance that it is, and depleted uranium, for anybody listening, is not depleted. Uranium contains about 30% of the active uranium, and it is, in fact, we believe, killing our troops. If not, over a long period of time, making them extremely ill. So we've got ill troops. And by the way, if you go to thepowerhour.com, we've got several articles all on the issues we've just been talking about on the front page there. So all you have to do is click on thepowerhour.com, and you'll go right to those articles about these troops' deaths. There's also the CNN interview in which the president, and I've got to point this out, Dr. Stan, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think it's very important. On July 17th, the president of the United States plus Tony Blair had a news conference. If you go down to the bottom of the, scroll down through the front page of the website, you'll see the president says, we will bring the weapons. And you will be taken to a CNN transcript. It's also at a .gov website if you want to search it out. And it says on there, the president states, we will bring the weapons on his speech. Now, no one caught that. It only aired once on TV. People didn't catch it until we got the transcript and said, oh, my goodness, what if that was a slip?
Oh, no, what is the weapon?
We don't know. He was talking in terms of the weapons of mass destruction. He said, we will find the weapons of mass destruction. We will bring the weapons. That's his statement. So you can go to thepowerhour.com and check it out. We've got the audio clip also, which we've been playing regularly because people need to hear this. So now we've got all these troops coming down with this mysterious illness. So the Department of Defense says, we're not going to send your personal effects back. You cannot have anything over here. You're medically discharged. If you want it, come get it yourself. That's exactly what has been said to these troops. In fact, one female who became ill stated that there were 6 people on the aircraft that she was air-evac'd in, and 4 of them died. She and one other male did not die. She got better. She was at Walter Reed. She got better, but they had told her initially that you probably only have 6 hours left to live. Now, her situation was that she had a 15-year-old daughter that was in Germany where she was stationed out of, living with, I believe it was her aunt. When she got better at Walter Reed and asked to have her daughter brought back, the military told her, sorry, you're medically retired. You have to go get your own daughter. So something is very much amiss here. And I'm not sure what is taking place, but I think there's enough red flags here and enough reporters that I know that are working on this behind the scenes that if I had somebody in the military right now, I would be absolutely scared to death. And I mean that. I would be frightened because I do not see the infrastructure there to perform to set up after the war. Remember, they said that General Franks was going to be the person in charge of Iraq once they had the occupation. Well, that didn't happen. They had a second guy. He didn't work out. Now they've got a third guy. Well, the infrastructure is not there. The troops are telling us there's no organization there. They don't even have their electricity back on, and combat engineers could have gotten the electricity on in 48 hours, they told us. But there's no desire to want to set it up and to have less chaos, which is what frightens me, sir, is I believe that there is intent on having chaos.
Well, I think that we have to have a justification for permanently stationing our troops in the Middle East, because that's what this is all about. And if you doubt that, you need to get my March newsletter, and we simply quote the Project for the New American Century, which controls our government, and they say in the year 2000, we want our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East, and that transcends the regime of Saddam Hussein. So, you know, Iran is next. Syria will go, and probably Saudi Arabia, and our boys will fight and bleed and suffer and die there as part of an insane policy by a group of Machiavellian people who dream a different dream, and that is of a world empire.
And you know, also, to add to what you just said about the United Nations, they played good cop, bad cop, the United States did with the United Nations. So this is the perfect scenario to walk in and have the president reconsider and say, oh, all right, I'll go have the United Nations, the NATO troops help us. The right is happy, the left is happy, everybody thinks that they're going to go off in the sunset and hold hands together, but not so. And I need to let people know that this has been orchestrated from the very beginning. And I just got the copy last week of Air Force Times, in which the new BDUs, have you heard about this, sir?
No, I haven't.
I want to be the first one to tell you, and it's on the Power Hour website, so you can go there and see these uniforms. It's called the Proposed New Utility Uniform Unveiled, and guess what? The new BDUs, you know the camouflage BDUs?
Right.
They're now UN blue.
Isn't that nice? Well, let's go to Samson, who's calling from Paradise. Hi, Samson.
Yeah, hi, Doc. I'm going to be praying for your cough there. You know, as we well know, in Romans 13, the government has a responsibility to protect us, you know. And in spite of this awful thing of all our guys, half our guys, evidently having this problem, as far as we know, Iraq was very, very instrumental and behind 9/11, right?
Well, what do you mean? There is absolutely no evidence of that at all.
There's no evidence of that at all. No, they're all Muslims, Doc. All of them. All these terrorists were Muslims.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of Muslims in America. Were they responsible for 9/11?
No.
All right, fine. No, there is no evidence that the people behind this were Saudi Arabia who were protecting.
Well, what are we supposed to do? Just, you know.
What we ought to be doing is not have gotten there at all. But the tragedy is we're there because good people don't understand that we're being manipulated by a small group of people who have a different dream. Go to my website, radioliberty.com, and pull down my newsletters and start reading them. I suspect need a lot of education. There is no evidence in any way that Iraq was involved in 9/11. And there is every evidence that Pakistan and Saudi Arabia were, as well as our CIA. Any other questions?
Well, as a Christian doctor, I try to fly above circumstances, right? And try to look at them from the perspective that the Almighty, who knows what good men will do and what wicked men will do, right? Right?
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it Spencer?
No, Samson.
I'm Samson. I'm sorry. Samson,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you know that people are being killed intentionally, and I'm talking about experiments that have been done on them, do you think that the Lord asks us to just be quiet and suck it all up and do whatever?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm speaking out on the intentional exposure of our military and the harming of our military and their offspring, because according to some people, this will affect their offspring for 72 generations. And that's a physician who has been looking into the depleted uranium issue. So do we stop it and say, wait a minute, we cannot kill these people, these unborn, in this fashion. We cannot mutate their genes? Or do we just be quiet and say Romans 13 says that I just have got to, you know, respect the government and whatever it does? No. The Lord says it's about liberty is what it's about, the truth.
Well, I agree. But, you know, I mean, like I went to Mike Honda. I'm really, you know, Mark from San Jose, but whatever. Mike Honda is my congressman, right? And he won't listen to me. You know, these Democrats, they don't care about anything but killing babies, special rights for sodomites, taking away the guns and worshiping in the UN. You know that.
All right, fine. So, Chris, I think what you missed the whole point. You take one verse out of the Bible and you build a whole theology on it. Remember when Christ was on the Mount of Temptation and the devil came to him and said, if you fall down and worship me, I can give you all of the kingdoms of this world. How could he do that unless the devil and Lucifer controls this world? Hey, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Chris from Kentucky. Got about a minute. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Stan. Hi, Joyce. How you doing?
Hi there, Chris.
I appreciate this, your show. I'm back working with the government as usual on my slave job. But my question is how many people that are in the military or fighting in Iraq are waking up and realizing what's going on?
That's a good question, and I think it is a lot. I think the fact that many people are speaking out, their families are speaking out, shows that the education is working. They're on the Internet, and they know what's happening. I wish I could give you a number, but I don't know. But I do think it's a lot.
Well, that's fantastic. I hear your music, and I just wanted to put that in.
Thank you very much.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Joyce, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Would you give a plug for our Miracle 2 products? We've got about 2 minutes before we go back to Genesis. So tell people why they need Miracle 2.
I think there is nothing like it. First of all, let me just say that I anonymously found out about this because somebody sent me a package and said, this will help your Gulf War vets. And I thought, this is bizarre. It said, try this soap and give God the glory. And I thought that was the most strangest note I'd ever gotten. But sure enough, it took away the rashes of our Gulf War veterans. I cannot tell you how many people are now using it and how many people have been helped because of it. And now it's not just Vietnam veterans, Gulf War veterans, but it's also World War II, and we have one gentleman from Bikini Atoll that's using it, and it's helped him tremendously. And all I can say is, I don't know how it works, but it works. And I use it for everything, and I tell everybody to please purchase it from Dr. Stan. If you're buying from the soap companies, you're supporting that global business. And you medicate yourself when you wear whatever it is. If it's soap powder, you wear it in your clothes 24 hours a day, just like those patches. So please look for and get Miracle 2 from Dr. Stan, because I am telling you, it is the best. And it supports his ministry. It helps support ours, so because we provide this to the Gulf War veterans and to all veterans at no charge. If they can't afford it, we make sure they get it. So as long as you're going to be using soap, use it from Dr. Stan and support his ministry. And also clean up the inside of your body and clean up the outside by using Neutralizer and the Miracle 2 soap.
I don't know why it works, but it does work for many, many people. So remember, Miracle 2, and you call 1-800-544-9927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, if you buy it from us, it will help those Gulf War veterans, because we buy it from Joyce.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here for the final hour of this very difficult program. But Joyce, what is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners this afternoon?
Well, I want everybody to start questioning. That's all. Question authority. Question what information you're getting. You don't get CNN to give you any kind of site or source for the majority of what they feed you, and that's what they do. When Dr. Stan speaks, and I've got an attorney friend of mine who does not miss your program, if at all possible, and I got to say that there are people out there listening to you and benefiting from your vast knowledge of what happens because you cite and you know the information. And I just challenge everybody out there, support the veterans, and supporting them doesn't mean that you send them into an environment where they're going to be killed. You support them by asking questions and by doing the things that work to get them home, because believe me, they want to be brought home in the worst way. So support them by listening to them. If you have a child over there, then listen to what they have to say and be aware, just like the third ID was told, these guys are going to be different when they come home, and the DOD is the one that said that. So we've got to support our military, we've got to ask questions, and we've got to get educated, because our whole entire future rests on that.
And, of course, my concern is that they are going to keep our troops, whether it's the current ones or rotating them, I'm not sure, but they're going to keep them there for a long time. They're not really trying to solve the problem, because if they solve the problem, how could we justify keeping our troops there?
That's right. And by the way, you remember, sir, the old the Vietnam service ribbon, the Southwest Asia service ribbon? You know the service ribbons that our troops get?
Right.
Well, the Air Force Times just announced no campaign medals for Afghanistan or Iraq. In fact, there will no longer be service medals or ribbons from the conflicts, because now they're going to go to something new. It's called the GWOT. Now, this was just in the 1st of September Air Force Times. The GWOT, the Global War on Terrorism ribbon. Everybody will get that. You will only get one, no matter how many terrorism fights you're involved in, and it's you in blue. So I think there's something afloat here, and I think that they've known for a long time. So Iraq, Afghanistan, and any of the future wars or conflicts will not get any ribbons. Now, that means something to people in the military. They know what that means, and that's very much of concern. Also, in just in closing, I'd like for people to go to thepowerhour.com and look at George Bush's military records. I would like sometime, if we could, sir, to go over his military records and point out some unbelievable things that took place with respect to his military training. For instance, as an example, he never went to officer candidate school, and yet he was a pilot. So he went from an enlisted man directly into flight school with no OCS.
And then he didn't show up very regularly for training.
Oh, that goes without saying. Plus, people don't realize that he was grounded from flying. And in the last couple of years of his required commitment of 6 years, he did no flying whatsoever. In fact, he was transferred to a unit that was a postal unit that had no aircraft whatsoever.
So, well, of course, but he's quite willing to send our boys over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die. Joyce, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed hearing Joyce. You know, I think that what she said is so important. Understand we're not getting the truth. Pray for America. Pray for our boys who are overseas. Pray for our ministers and our leaders. Pray for revival. But please remember to pray for my ministry, for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. So until tomorrow, when I hope my voice is better, may the Lord be with you.